Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a terrific Thursday today. We're still having intermittent showers on and off down here in Florida, but it's all right because we definitely needed some rain. It's helped cooling it down. And it looks like Ted and Sharon are doing some stuff up there as far as with a trailer. So they'll be jumping back and forth. I think I have Mom on here right now. Are you with me, Mom?
I'm with you, Austin.
Okay. Well, I went ahead and I got some articles here today, a lot of wild stuff going on. First one I wanted to get into today was kids' health. You know, a lot of people really, I think, are starting to wake up on the overall negative effects of too much time in front of the TV or tablets, too much nasty food as far as a lot of the really just junk food that's on the market now. More people are starting to wake up to that and realizing that your children's health, your children's physical and mental development is your responsibility, especially when they're very young. Well, another study just came out that suggested that too much time in front of the TV can lead to poor bone health as well later on. You know, there's shows like Baby Einstein videos that have soothing effects, and they're both colorful and educational in some areas. And I've seen other Christian shows that they have for children. Hunter doesn't watch a lot of television at all, actually, if any. You know, but occasionally, you know, if Baby Einstein or something like that, a lot of times they'll calm them down for 20 or 30 minutes and allow you to get some stuff done, especially if you have very, very active children like I do. However, in excess, TV is very harmful to children, both physically and psychologically. Scientists say they can tell the difference between children who are regularly being read to in infancy and children and those who are entertained by TV or some other form of electronic. The interactive activity of reading to a child tends to produce more chattier kids, even if they are not understood as far as they're just babbling, they're talking, whereas kids who are left to zone out in front of TVs don't have very much to say at all. This is because children who are read to end up developing better language skills. Last year, a study presented at the Pediatric Academy Society's annual meeting revealed that kindergarten-aged children who watched more than 1 hour of TV a day were 39% more likely to become overweight and 86% more likely to be obese by the time they entered first grade. This is because we have a younger generation now that has absolutely zero idea of how to go outside and play actively. They have zero creative play. They have zero ability to really do things other than sit in front of PlayStation and Xbox and televisions on a regular basis. It's not because a lot of the things like going outside and riding bicycles aren't still readily available. It's because the TVs have basically turned into babysitters now. Now, not the entire population has that issue, but I've seen it systemic now, especially in this younger generation under mine, with the Generation X and, of course, the ones that are coming up now. They're using television as a basically babysitter to take care of their kids. This is not good. And then you start seeing why the obese behavior or the obese health starts going bad. 86% more likely to be obese by the time they entered first grade just by watching over an hour of TV a day. Those are horrible numbers, and you should really think twice about letting your kids or your grandkids watch excessive amounts of TV. Another study published 2 years ago by Public Health in England showed that British kids who spent most of their time in front of TVs and computer screens had more depression, anxiety, and limited social interaction and physical activity. The latest study that just came out, known as the Longitudinal Rain Study, followed 2,900 prenatal clinic patients enrolled in utero by their mothers. Researchers checked the children at birth, then at 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 10, 14, 17, and 20 years of age. This has been over a 20-year-long study. The complete data was provided on TV watching time, bone mass, physical activity, serum vitamin D, dietary intakes, smoking habits and alcohol consumption of over 1,200 individuals in the cohort. Parents reported their child's TV watching habits at ages 5, 8, and 10. The children self-reported at ages 14, 17, and 10. So this was in 20, excuse me. So this is a very thorough study. Well, they finally come out with the results of it, and they found that participants who consistently watched at least 14 hours of television per week, that's only 2 hours of TV a day, were found to have lower bone mineral content than those who watched less TV, even after researchers adjusted for physical activity, height, bone mass, intake of vitamin D, alcohol, smoking, all at ages of 20. The authors wrote that since the attainment of optimal peak bone mass is protected against osteoporosis later in life, reducing sedentary time in children may have long-term skeletal benefits. The researchers believe that the healthy bone growth may be adversely affected by the high-fat and high-sugar foods that typically go hand-in-hand with long hours of TV watching. Alongside, it's also possible that spending large amounts of time sitting motionless could cause systematic changes in bone metabolism, as often seen in bed rest studies. So, guys, this is something that's very, very important. If you have kids, there's absolutely nothing wrong with letting them watch a little bit of television occasionally, but using it as a babysitter, as you can see right here, sets up very, very bad habits for the future and definitely does not have any long-term health benefits at all.
No, you're absolutely right, Austin. The reality is this. Kids need the outside playing. Kids don't need to be playing on Nintendo or their iPhones or their iPads or their video games or Soldiers of War, Soldiers of Fortune. They don't need to be doing any of that because, quite frankly, when they start doing that stuff, they end up in a situation where they become too sedentary, and it turns into this situation which they become extremely lazy, and they don't want to do anything outside ever. They don't want to mow the grass. They don't want to pull a weed. They don't want to push a wheelbarrow. They don't want to do anything. They want to sit in front of the TV set because, again, remember, this is a dopamine trigger. The flicker rates they determine on the TV sets create dopamine triggers in the brain, which let these children basically stay stoned in this hypnotic state in front of the TV set. I've watched children many times. They'll be sitting there watching TV and their mouth will just drop open. Just drop open because they're basically in a situation where they just are hypnotic. And of course, all that stuff's going in there. By the way, the Netflix, speaking of TV, the Netflix series now is exposing government-connected child sex ring in Baltimore through the Catholic Church. Now, this is kind of interesting because the Baltimore police have found themselves in an awkward position as of late after a horrifying documentary from the Netflix exposed a dark underground child sex ring involving the church, politicians, and cops. The series entitled The Keepers has forced the Baltimore police to set up an online submission form as people have become to come forward after watching it, telling the truth about how they were abused by either the police, by the clergy, or these other people involved in their lives. After the church attempted to keep it quiet by paying off the victims under the table, the documentary has exposed these monsters to the world. The 7-part documentary series, which premiered on Friday, also covers the unsolved murder of one of the sisters, Sister Catherine Ann Sesnick. On Tuesday, enough former victims had seen the documentary, they began calling the Baltimore Police Department to report their abuse, and they now have an online submission form. Guys, dozens of victims are coming forward now to say that they were also abused in Baltimore. This is a major problem involving the church, involving pedophilia, involving child trafficking, and it's all of the stuff that we've talked about. And bravo to Netflix, Austin, that they have the stones, so to speak, to go out and actually broadcast this and deal with the blowback from the police department. What do you think about this story?
Yeah, I was shocked to see Netflix actually expose this. I don't know if this was their intent, but the fact that they released a Netflix-funded documentary on this was pretty wild to me. I've told you before, I haven't been a big supporter of Netflix from a lot of the gay shows that they put on there. That's why I canceled my Netflix subscription. But this is pretty wild because what's happened is they came out with this documentary, and apparently it was very, very accurate, and dozens of victims had been suppressing, basically, the memories of this abuse. And when the documentary came out, it brought the nightmares back up to light. Originally, many people thought the first woman that called in was faking it until dozens of people followed suit. The Washington Post over there with the Baltimore police spokesperson said to the Washington Post that we've heard from people who previously have not reported this offense, so we're wanting to streamline this process. This is a crime that has occurred to them, and they don't need to constantly relive the nightmare telling the story over and over and over again. apparently, from what they're seeing here, indeed what's began as an investigation into a cold case soon has become the story of a concerted effort to conceal widespread rape and sexual abuse committed by Kyaw's school chaplain and counselor, Father Joseph Maskell, as well as other clergy, police, and also a local gynecologist. This is a very, very weird situation, but I am extremely excited that this is getting exposed to light. These guys' sins need to be brought up, and these guys need to pay for what they've done to these people. When you start having dozens of people call in and submit forms in that they basically were sexually abused or raped by these individuals, it's sad. I mean, that's sad. That's really sad these kids had to go through this, but at least this documentary got put on Netflix, so these people really, I guess, got the courage to come out and say what was going on. And it's pretty wild that I didn't expect to see this in Baltimore, but as you guys know, this is something that's systemic throughout all types of areas. I mean, whether it just be the Catholic Church, it's all over the place. So, I mean, the fact that this has come to light is very, very good, though, Dad. I'm glad that we're seeing this. Hopefully these people will go to jail and be convicted for a lot of the stuff they've been involved in.
Well, they need to be convicted. They need to be hung, quite frankly. I mean,
yeah.
when you're a pedophile with these kids, we talk about this repeatedly, this is not okay. This type of behavior is sick, it's perverted, and it's something that should be punishable by capital death, as far as I'm concerned. By the way, universities being sued now after arresting students for distributing constitutions, an organization oriented around free speech filed suit against the university Wednesday after the university arrested students for handing out pocket-sized constitutions. Remember, they're basically arresting the students because they wanted to read constitutions. The nonprofit organization, the Allegiance Defending Program, filed for a temporary injunction against Kellogg Community College after the university arrested two members of Young Americans for Liberty for distributing small constitutions on campus. In the complaint, Yale and ADF alleged that Kellogg's solicitation policy grants the KCC officials unbridled discretion to restrict content and viewpoint of student speech. Where is that in the First Amendment? I mean, often, this blatant disregard for free speech on public campus is precisely why the words and the rights of the U.S. Constitution should be spread far and wide. What do you think about that, son?
I saw the article earlier, and I'm glad they're following suit on these guys. I mean, this is about as bizarre as it gets, especially, I mean, a state, county, community college like this that, I mean, you think the ideology behind college is basically spreading, you know, free speech, spreading ideas, allowing people to come out with what they believe and be able to come forth with it. But this is completely out of line. It even says under the terms of the solicitation policy, the college does not take into consideration the content of speech or solicitation when granting individuals or organizations access, but it does govern the time, place, and manner of such activities in accordance. And what's crazy about this is they don't even have the ability to hand out constitutions on college campuses now. This is exactly what I've talked about before, that these guys in the whole globalist agenda is to push onto these colleges what they want to be taught. And apparently these guys of the community college feel that the Constitution is just too egregious, too truthful, too absolutely horrendous to be read. So they're going to basically arrest these guys. And it wasn't like they find them, they came out there and gave them a fine, or they walked out there and said, hey, listen, you guys have to turn these in, or you guys need to go get a permit, which granted they didn't even need to do a permit, but they love extracting money out of the population with permits, fees, and taxes. We already know that. If they were saying, you guys need to pay like a $5 fee and make sure you can solicit these, okay, whatever, get out of here with it, just whatever. But to go in and blatantly arrest these guys for handing out, of all things, constitutions on a college campus, ooh, man, boy, you're talking about a serious precedent you're trying to set there. I mean, what's the next step? Do you know if somebody walks outside and starts praying with somebody in the hallway, you're going to say, oh, you're going to jail now for praying in public? I mean, that's where this starts to go, and the fact that they did this over constitutions just goes to show you that these guys have no limits on what they're trying to restrict on free speech. If we can't get these colleges, community colleges, and universities under control in the next 5 to 10 years, they're literally going to be nothing but just giant globalist indoctrination camps that I've talked about before. And, I mean, they're already to that point, but that's where it's going to be headed, to the point where, I mean, there's really going to be no legitimate purpose to even go to a college anymore if this is the garbage that you're going to have to learn. I actually had a conversation with my brother the other day, and he sent me some screenshots from a book that this girl was reading that he knows. And this right here was required reading, by the way, to get your bachelor's degree in education, to be a teacher. This is what you have to take in order to get it. It's class EDU3020, Affirming Diversity. It's a required bachelor's degree class to get a bachelor's degree in education. And it was so bizarre, and I read some of it. I'll read some of it here for a second. This right here, it just boggled my mind. It said here, it said, the institutional definition of racism is not always easy to accept because it goes against deeply held ideas of equality and justice in our nation, okay? Whites, whether they intend to or not, and I'm reading verbatim from the book right now, whites, whether they intend to or not, benefit in a racist society, and all males benefit in a sexist society. Discrimination against help somebody with the most power, which explains why racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination, despite the lack that everyone continues to be against them, still benefit them. According to late Meyer Weinberg, a well-known historian whose research based on school desegregation, racism is a system of privilege and penalty. That is, one is rewarded or punished in housing, education, employment, and health by the simple fact of belonging to a particular group, regardless of one's individual merits or faults. Holy moly. The fact, and guys, this is required reading for a bachelor's degree in education. Required. Not an elective. This is required. What they're saying here now is you're basically a racist if you don't believe that somebody is not able to do what they can do based on what their race is. It's so bizarre, this ideology. It's almost scary what they're saying. They're blaming everything on housing, economy, as far as what you can do as a person based on your race, which is completely untrue. I mean, if that's the case, what do we even have affirmative action for? I mean, that was supposed to completely stop all that, but they're saying that that's not good enough. This is wild, Dad, but this is what the school systems are promoting now. This is why I always tell people, be very, very careful what you allow yourself to be brainwashed in if you're going to college, Dad.
No, Austin, he stepped out for a minute, but this is Sharon. I want to share something with you. It's almost like the ultra mind control, and the colleges right now, the secular colleges, are controlling the minds and gearing the minds to the direction that they want them to believe, they want them to go. And when they say it's a required reading, I know back when I was at FSU, 20, 30 years ago, I was in design class, and one of the required classes was nude figure drawing. Well, I refused to take it, and I caused a ruckus about it way back then. Well, I just said, okay, I'll just change my major and minor in design, and that's what I did, which I didn't want to do. But even Harrison, our 16-year-old that wants to go into law, Austin, like you said, you talked to him, and he was really excited about going to FSU up in Tallahassee, which is a secular school, but we did graduate from there. And you know, he said, Dad, you know, I think I'd like to look at Liberty and what is the other one up there with Pat Robinson? Liberty and
sure.
Regent University up in Virginia, because they're Christian schools. Because he said, Dad, this politically correct stuff has gotten so ridiculous. The mind control that they want you to send your kids to college and send them back to be these unbelievable liberal, just totally, you know, unpatriot type people, which he's been raised as. And he goes, Dad, I don't want to deal with that. And also, you know, they're talking about that excerpt you just read. Well, Austin, a white male has got the hardest chance of getting in law school or medical school, and that's just common knowledge. pretty much anywhere unless they're at the top of their class. Sometimes that helps, but it's the white female, the black, Hispanic, the minorities, which really those aren't minorities anymore, are the ones that are getting in the schools, and they have the advantage. So this is all just a bunch of hogwash, if you ask me. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm just glad that Harrison at 16 realizes that he doesn't want someone going in and trying to control his thoughts, his mind, and he definitely doesn't want to be politically correct. So you're right on that, and it's just getting worse, Austin. I mean, you know, they started with the TV, like you were talking about the TV a while ago and these kids watching TV. Well, think about the mind control that they're already starting on these kids when they're watching TV. And then if the parents don't make the children mute the commercials, all these commercials are promoting unhealthy, high sugar, high fructose corn syrup, garbage food, cereals, snacks, that the kids say, oh, Mom, I want this, I want that. And then they become obese. And again, with the bone density thing, Austin, resistance training is one of the biggest things to increase bone density when you get older. Well, I really believe these children aren't getting any type of, not resistance training, but that type of exercise. And that is something that really is important for really strong bone density and bone growth.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's what the researchers were saying in a lot of this, is the fact that this real young generation doesn't even, I mean, now they're so politically correct at schools, you don't even have to take PE if you don't want to. They don't make you go outside and go run laps or have gym class and have to work out. All you have to do is opt out of it. You say, oh, no, I don't believe in PE, or I don't want to take it. And you don't have to take it. It's not even required anymore. And you're exactly right. The resistance training as you get older really helps out significantly with increasing bone mass, and especially as a teenager. That's how the body develops. Our bodies were never designed to be sedentary all day long. Our bodies were never designed to sit in a classroom for 7-8 hours a day, only getting up for 3 or 4 times to switch classes or go to the cafeteria, and then come home at the end of the day and sit on the couch and play PlayStation till midnight, pass out, wake back up and do it again. That's the majority of these kids' lives. That's pretty much what a lot of these kids do now. I see it all the time now, and I hear about it all the time. They go, they get up, they eat crap for food, they have some Eggo waffle or some, you know, whatever Rice Krispie cereal or Frosted Flakes, whatever the cheapest cereal, because that's what they like, because they see it on TV all the time, and it's full of sugar, and it tastes good. They eat that. They go to school. They get indoctrinated with this globalist brainwashing. Then they get out of school. They come home. They sit on the TV. They play PlayStation all night. They go to bed, and they get up. That's what it is. And so we have this young generation now that basically is not learning true constitutional law. They're not learning true history about what actually happened. They're not learning about the biblical and Christian beliefs that we should be teaching all of the kids. Half of them aren't even going to church anymore. You know, I talked about a couple months ago, and it was saying the millennials, this generation that I happen to be coupled with, they have the lowest attendance of church throughout any type of basically American history. The least amount of kids from this generation are going to church, less than any generation in this time before.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
It's bad, and it's two-sided, because you have one side where they weren't really raised in church, or even if they were raised in church, they haven't had any type of encouragement to go forth. And then secondly, we've had this intentional manipulation of the church through the 501c3 corporations, through the allowance of a lot of these TV evangelists to completely ruin that market, a lot of the distrust in the government and the banks and the money and everything, so that this generation really has a lot of disdain and a lot of distrust for authority. So putting any type of reliance or any type of, you know, trust, even in a church figure, even in a church, is very, very difficult to do for this generation. I mean, when you see banks literally go bankrupt in 2008 and then get, you know, $780 billion in bailouts, some of the top CEOs getting, you know, $400 and $500 million across the board in bonuses, and then you sit there and go, and I'm supposed to trust this system? You see other types of TV evangelists that have been involved in scandals and laundering money and all kinds of stuff all over the years, And that's what's happened now. They've intentionally manipulated the entire generation into believing that we really can't believe in church, we can't do this, and we have to get away from that. We have to try and root this generation back into where it needs, and teaching them this garbage they're learning in school with this total globalist indoctrination. And I mean, it's that right there. It can't be the only form of education your kids get. That's the problem now. Everybody wants to send their kids to school or college, and they don't want to have any responsibility for raising them. They let the schools raise them. So if the schools raise them, the schools are going to raise them the way that they want to raise them. And that's what we've seen now, is very, 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 very poor upbringing skills. That's just what happened. Also, too, in another article now, this is pretty wild. Scientists have found an accurate way to photograph people in 3D through walls using Wi-Fi. This is kind of a techie article, but I wanted to bring this up to show you guys how effective and how strong Wi-Fi frequency is. A lot of people just kind of take it for, oh, it's Wi-Fi, I got internet right now, I got this, and we just kind of whatever. This is why I tell you guys, at night, I shut off the TV. I mean, I unplug it from the wall, all that. The speakers, all that. They're on a big converter switch, it gets unplugged. The Wi-Fi gets unplugged at night. These electronics are constantly putting out electric signals all the time. The Wi-Fi is the worst. Well, now we know, you guys already know Wi-Fi passes through walls. We already know that. But not all that microwave radiation makes it to or from our phones, tablets, and laptops, obviously. Routers scatter and bounce this signal off all objects, illuminating our homes and offices like invisible light bulbs. This is what I've been telling you guys before, why to turn the Wi-Fi off at night. German scientists have now found a way to exploit this property to take holograms or 3D photographs of raw objects inside of a house from outside of the house. They said it can basically scan a room with someone's Wi-Fi transmission. Hull initially built the device as part of his bachelor's thesis with the help of an academic supervisor. The two later submitted a study about their technique to the journal Physical Review Letters, which published their paper in early May. Hall said the technology is only in its prototype stage and has limited resolution. He said that you can make out the shape of a person or a dog on the couch, really any object that's more than 4 centimeters in size. Now, the ability to see through walls using Wi-Fi has been around for a couple of years. However, Hall said no one has used Wi-Fi to make a 3D hologram of an entire room and the stuff inside of it. He said our method gives you much better images since we record much more signal. We scan the whole plane of the room. The software they use builds many 2D images as one antenna is waved around and then stacks them together in a 3D hologram. And because Wi-Fi travels through most walls, those holograms are the objects inside of a room. So I thought that was pretty wild that they're doing this now. It's kind of cool from a scientific standpoint, but kind of creepy on a privacy standpoint, and also very weird on a health standpoint, considering the fact that I've talked about this, and so has Dad for years, on the harmful effects of long-term Wi-Fi exposure. But this goes to show you right here why it messes up your pineal gland and your melatonin production at night. It's literally like having lights on inside the house. That's what he said right here. The routers scan and bounce their signals off objects, illuminating the home and office like invisible light bulbs, Dad. So I thought that was pretty cool. They confirmed everything we've been talking about for years.
Well, no, this is exactly right. This is why we repeatedly have to turn the Wi-Fi routers off, because it's one of those deals that you either going to learn to stay away from this stuff, or it's going to keep you awake at night, mess up your sleep patterns, and cause problems with your pineal gland. I mean, this is a major problem, and people don't realize that's why so many people have told us when they turn their Wi-Fi routers off at night, they get so much better sleep. And so it's just so important to do that, because you're basically radiating yourself.
No, you're absolutely right. Also, too, another article in Florida. This is kind of sad. This is just going to show you something is very odd that's going on all around the globe as far as the weather and the wildlife. From the coast of Amelia Island, which I used to live up there, to the shores of Ponte Vedra Beach, the outlook for Floridian birds is getting pretty grim. Pelicans, ospreys, gulls are just some of the beautiful birds that are being affected by a massive die-off. According to a group of marine life researchers, Hailing from the Florida Sea Grant extension of Northeast Florida, which is part of the University of Florida, the team says the sick birds appear to be disoriented and often find themselves away from their natural habitat. Their feathers are very dry, brittle, and seem to lack their natural waterproofing. Sometimes the birds are even bleeding from their beaks. What is causing this on these marine birds is not known, but some believe is related to what's described as a rainbow sheen sitting atop the waves at the beach of Little Talbot. Many of these sick birds have been found around the mouth of St. John's River, though sick pelicans have been reported in the lake of Guana Lake Management Local. The Sea Grant Extension team requests if you see dead birds, do not touch them under any circumstances. So this is something that's kind of sad, but they're saying now they've also posted the red tide algae bloom can also cause issues as well. There's also another suggestion that the birds may have died from the Tampa Bay sewage dump that occurred in the 2016 storms. Whatever the cause, it's kind of sad. I always hate to see birds dying off. I like birds. We got a lot of birds down here in Central Florida as well. A lot of eagles and ospreys, which I love watching eagles fly around and land on the dock. But this is sad whenever you see stuff like this happen. But again, you know, with what we're doing with the weather modification, with the chemtrails, with what happened with the BP oil spill on the west side of Florida, all this stuff has long-term effects, and especially what we've seen over there with Fukushima on the west side of the United States, it's pretty, pretty creepy with all that. Also, too, another news story that's came out, this is from Breitbart, this is pretty weird, but goes to show you exactly what the agenda's been. Obama intentionally let in admitted MS-13 members, whistleblower says. Senator Ron Johnson, chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, said that a whistleblower has come over and turned over documents that has showed more than a dozen apprehended illegal alien teenagers who admitted to being MS-13 members when they were apprehended were released by the Obama administration. According to the report, they knowingly let in at least 16 MS-13 gang members in 2014, all of whom entered the U.S. as teenagers. And this is that whole, that what was the bright future thing or whatever the Obama wanted to do. So if the teenager gets his foot across the border and he's not 18, he can stay here because we don't want to send them back. It's complete and total nonsense. These guys blatantly said that they were MS-13 gang members. They were processed and dispersed then into our communities without any type of further apprehension. They criticized the release of the documents by the whistleblower, Claire McCaskill, who's a Democrat, indicating it may hurt investigations, which is complete and total nonsense. The 16 MS-13 members were part of the influx of UAC and unoccupied alien children from Central America. That's what I was just talking about a minute ago. They said here that the April this year, Attorney General Sessions said MS-13 could qualify as a terrorist organization, a move to designate the gang as is supported by 47% of Americans. The devastation caused by MS-13 and El Salvadorian street gangs is seen throughout the United States, where they're basically do all types of nonsense. I've talked about this so many times. The MS-13 motto is kill, rape, and control. This is something that is not acceptable to me. I haven't had any confrontation with these individuals down here in Florida. I know California is obviously their biggest state, but they have spread throughout. These are the type of individuals why I always warn people to carry a firearm with you and know how to use so. The state of Florida allows you to get a concealed carry permit, as do a lot of states in this country, and carry a firearm concealed on your person safely. If you have the ability to do so, I always suggest you do so. This is not something that is required as an American, but I highly, highly, highly recommend it. If you need to protect yourself, your family, or even just a friend or even a stranger on the street in a situation, anytime you can protect somebody else and provide adequate force against some type of assailant that's wanting to do great bodily harm or death to an individual, that is always something, in my opinion, you're required to do as an American. it's a patriot, because if everybody has that mindset to help one another out, to support one another, to be there for one another and look out for one another against a lot of these absolutely radical gang members that have no business being in this country, that right there will help solidify the strength of this country and allow us to come together and kick a lot of these guys out and get them either behind bars and deported, or if we have to, use force if necessary to defend our friends and our family. Another news down in the Philippines, the president of the Philippines, and this has not been a whole lot of news I've seen on this today, but apparently is starting to catch wind, are moderate rebels that we fund over in the Middle East, otherwise known as ISIS, that the CIA likes to fund with surface air missiles, heavy weapons, and light weapons, along with an unlimited supply of ammunition, has now gone down to the Philippines. And the president of the Philippines now has declared martial law after an ISIS group has captured the city. Yesterday you saw, as far as we saw, everything in Manchester was essentially martial law being declared in the UK. Find this kind of odd that these guys with ISIS just happened to get down there in the Philippines and now basically are setting houses on fire, executing Christians, going throughout the city, wreaking havoc like the sadistic Muslims that are full-blown Sharia law like to do on a regular basis. They have now declared martial law and put the military on the street to help get these under control. Guys, always understand, this is the narrative that they want to play out. ISIS has been completely funded, armed, and controlled by the CIA. Every time that we give these moderate rebels in Syria or some other country that we're trying to destabilize surface air missiles, 50 BMG belt-fed machine guns, and a host of other weapons, including grenades, this is what they do. What do you expect these guys to do? You're giving them free machine guns. What do you do with machine guns when you're a complete and totally insane Islamic terrorist? You go and shoot people with it. That's what they do. So why are we surprised when they go engage in this behavior? But then we say, oh, we have to defeat ISIS. The easiest way to defeat ISIS is stop funding ISIS and stop arming ISIS. We have the UK now go full-blown martial law 2 days ago. Now we have the Philippines declare martial law. Both of them because of Islamic terrorism that we continue to fund. Yet the media will not even address or say the words Islamic extremism, terrorism. They will not speak it. They wouldn't even say it yesterday. All they wanted to say was it was an act of terror, an act of terror, an act of terror. Everything in the UK was an act of terror. They didn't want to say once that this guy was a devout Muslim, that ISIS even took credit for it, the bombing in Manchester, and that we're sitting there acting like we don't want to acknowledge them because we don't want to offend anybody. Why? Because a significant portion of the UK is now Muslim. They want Sharia law. They want to come in and completely dominate with their satanic religion. That's just what they do, guys. People get mad at me when I say stuff like that. Do your research on Islam, the background of it, and what they actually believe when enough of them come together and start controlling cities and countries. They always act the exact same way every single time they get significant dominating control over a city. Every time. Even up in Dearborn, Michigan. Granted, sure, you have very, very mild, moderate Muslims that live around us. You see them at your grocery store. You see them here. Okay, got it. I don't agree with their religion. I don't support it. They do what they do. They leave us alone. But as soon as they get congregated in large enough numbers, they always try and take over a city by force. That's why I always bring up Dearborn, Michigan, because that place has turned into an Islamic nightmare up there for anybody that's American or Christian and wants to go up there and try and walk around peacefully on their way unmolested. You see some of the videos from the UK in the Muslim areas that the police will not even go into unless they have permission from the Muslim leaders in those.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
Do you understand how far along the lines that is, where you have a Muslim part of town that they completely control, that the law enforcement isn't even allowed to enter without getting express permission from the Muslim leaders there? And we put up with that. And that's exactly what's happening. And then you see it's happened in the UK. Now they declare martial law in the Philippines today. But nobody still will even say Islamic terror. Everybody wants to ignore it like it's not even happening. And we're funding them on a weekly basis with weapons all over the country, all over the world.
You're absolutely right, Austin. And the sad part about this is that this, see, there are a lot of good Muslims who basically live in peace and they don't want to do this. They're not all about jihad. I've got friends of mine that are Muslims. You know, we have two folks that live over in Lake Alfred, and they have a little restaurant that we go to on a semi-regular basis. And they're some of the nicest people on the planet, but they're not radical Muslim jihadists. They're not that. And so they really, really want to live in peace and try not to dominate. And they try to fit into the culture of the United States. For those types of Muslims, I don't have a bit of problems with it. But when you bring these people in from these other third world countries, and all they want to do is the Sunnis are fighting with the Shiites, and when either one of those basically become powerful enough, they start killing the other ones. This is not a religion of peace. This is a religion of domination. This is a religion of basically coming in and taking the culture that's there and usurping it and taking it over for their religion. This is not okay. We can't live like that in the United States. I always get a kick out of it when I drive down the road and somebody has those bumper stickers and they have all these different religions on their bumper sticker and it basically says, live in peace, live in unity. And I'm like, well, if everybody wants to do that and nobody wants to try to force their other religion on other people, it's okay. We as Christians, you know, we'll talk to people about Jesus. We'll tell them what Jesus has done in our life. We'll talk to them about the power of the cross and the power of the blood and what God will do for them. And through them, we'll allow them to know that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. But then we also let them know that it's their choice, that if they decide that they don't want to be a Christian, that we're not going to take them out back and cut their head off or put them in a concentration camps or take them out back and hang them. You know, in some of these different religions, when you get into some of these third world countries, and especially some of the Middle Eastern countries, I mean, Iraq was one of the Christian strongholds in the world as far as from a Muslim country until we went in and overthrew Saddam Hussein. And now it's turned into a Muslim hellhole that they hate Christians. Same thing with Syria. And this is the kind of stuff that happens all the time that you see. You saw that with Turkey in that one movie that was done just a few weeks ago. It's called The Promise, with the genocide that happened in Turkey in World War I, when the Armenians basically were destroyed by the Turkish Muslims who were in alignment with the Nazis, or wasn't the Nazis back then, with Germany for World War I. See, this is what they do and have done it repeatedly. And the sad part about it is when you talk about it, you're not politically correct and you're not supposed to say anything about this. But so it's absolutely crazy to me this is going on. By the way, let's talk about nightshade vegetables. Just the other day, I had a friend of mine I met up here, and his wife came over and met us, and she was having severe joint problems, which she was actually taking medication for her joints, and they said that she was a severe rheumatoid arthritic. And I started asking her questions about nightshade vegetables. And now, the reason I know many of you already are aware of this, but a lot of people aren't, so I want to cover this very, very quickly. Nightshades are a variety of vegetables, like as potatoes, bell pepper, eggplant, and white potatoes that need to be avoided. And here's why. Nightshades are a specific group of plants that belong to the Solanaceae family, which includes over 2,000 species. They are some of the most popular foods consumed today. They include tomatoes, potatoes, all types of peppers, and eggplant. Not truly a nightshade member, but containing the same inflammation-causing alkaloids are blueberries and huckleberries. Now, nightshades induce inflammation through a specific chemical known as solanine. Researchers now believe this chemical may actually irritate the gastrointestinal tract when it is absorbed into the bloodstream and can cause destruction of the oxygen-carrying red blood cells. Solanine is known as an acetylcholine esterase inhibitor. It acts to prevent the breakdown of a neurotransmitter, acetylcholine, leading to excessive buildup of acetylcholine in the nerve receptor sites. This action allows for constant overstimulation of acetylcholine receptors, especially within the nervous system, as it is responsible for stimulating the parasympathetic system. Now, solanines are not water-soluble, and they are not destroyed by cooking, and they're not broken down inside the body, but they must be excreted as alpha-solanine. Alpha-solanine is classified as a neurotoxin. Now, get this. Interestingly, most foods that contain alpha-solanine also contain at least five other neurotoxins, including atropine and nicotine. One of the major problems attributed to nightshades is arthritis. In fact, 1 in 3 arthritics will react badly to nightshades. 1 in 3 arthritics will react badly to nightshades. And so we need to understand they need to be avoided. Some researchers believe that the arthritis is often misdiagnosed to people who may, in fact, only be experiencing the effect of nightshade consumption. Alkaloids appear to reflect the metabolism, affected metabolism of calcium, though not yet understood how nightshade foods may remove calcium from the bones and deposit it in soft tissue, setting the stage for arthritis. For this reason, researchers have recommended that all individuals with osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis or other joint problems like gout eliminate nightshade foods from their diet. Now, guys, what's interesting about this is I've spoken to so many rheumatologists and guys who work with geriatric patients who suffer with arthritic conditions, and not one of these guys, not one, has ever said to me that nightshades can be a cause. So, guys, it's very important you avoid, if you have rheumatoid arthritis or even osteoarthritis, you avoid tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, peppers. This is very, very important. And also, white potatoes are very, very important, but not sweet potatoes or yams. They're okay. So, guys, stay away from all of this stuff. And also remember, soy sauce made in the U.S., which you shouldn't eat anyhow, is generally made with genetically modified soybeans, which are cut with the nightshade plant petunia. The healthier option is to purchase Bragg's amino acids, which I don't recommend that either. I don't recommend any soy products whatsoever. So, guys, stay away from nightshade vegetables if you're having problems with rheumatoid arthritic conditions. Because so many times when I ask people about this and I find out what they're eating these nightshades, primarily peppers, potatoes, and bell peppers, Austin. So, you guys, stay away from this list as much as you possibly can. What do you think about that, son?
Yeah, that was great info, and you're exactly right. It's very, very, very common on emails and phone calls that I get that people are having real bad joints, real bad arthritis, real bad inflammation. I talk to them about it. They're usually eating one or more of those. They're also, too, usually not drinking enough water, and they're also not taking in enough dietary anti-inflammatory supplements like turmeric. So the biggest thing I always tell people, the first thing is what Dad just said, get off all the nightshades. Get off all of them. They don't need to be in your diet whatsoever. Also, too, get off all sugar. If you're drinking sweet tea, if you're putting sugar in your coffee, if you're drinking sodas, if you're eating candies, cut it all out. Sugar is also extremely inflammatory. Thirdly, cut out all alcohol. Alcohol is extremely inflammatory in the body. Once you cut those out, then make sure you're adding in at least half your body weight in fluid ounces of purified distilled water every day. So that means if you're 200 pounds, you need to be drinking at least 100 ounces of water a day. The water helps to flush out the toxins in the body and can also remove some of the inflammation when you have proper fluid in the body. Most people get very dehydrated on a regular basis and don't even know it. Is because either A, they lack the water intake, or they also are drinking caffeine products, which can be very diuretic, and also alcohol, which are very diuretic. So those right there, again, make sure you cut those out. Secondly, once you get the water intake in, you cut out all of the nightshade products, like Dad just said, add in the turmeric force. Turmeric is a massive anti-inflammatory compound that does very, very good wonders at bringing in overall inflammation throughout the entire body, not just the joints, but everywhere. So it can also be very beneficial, whether it be the back, whether it's your neck, whether it's an organ, whether it's the liver, whether it's the kidneys. Very, very good for all that. So right there, those are some of the easiest things to try, and then go from there. If you still need something, you are actually having, you know, degenerative joints, you can throw in the joint relief and the joint rebuilding formula, which we have the Dave Hodges joint kit on our website on sale. That's a really good one to start rebuilding soft tissue. But before you start going to the doctor and you go on these medications and you start getting these injections and all this other stuff that they usually want to do, and when people have issues with arthritis, go in and start cutting those things out that I just said. Increase your water, throw some turmeric force in, and see how effective that is first with the natural approach. Because this is what I tell everybody. The natural approach is always there, guys. Always hit it up first. It's usually the cheapest, easiest, healthiest, most effective way to go. If you can't get that to work after 90 days and you've done everything you can from a natural approach, the medical side is always there to go back to. But I always recommend people don't go with the medical side first. There's usually many, many long-term side effects from taking some of those medications. And it's also, too, it can make things a lot worse in the long run, Dad.
No, you're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, I remember years ago, we have a good friend of mine, his name is Gene. I'm not going to mention his last name, and he was married to the wrong person. You say, what do you mean? Trust me, friends, this is one of those. This was a non-Christian marriage, and Gene was a Christian. This lady was not, and it was a mess. And I'm not going to, he had scriptural grounds to finally divorce this woman. And I remember she had a daughter with Gene, and she had actually three children with Gene. And she ended up having one of the kids who had really bad rheumatoid arthritic conditions who lived on white potatoes and tomatoes. And when I tried to help her to basically change the child's diet, she went berserk, screaming, yelling, hollering, cussing, that whole bit. Like I said, she was the wrong person. And she was unwilling to change that child's diet, even though that child was crippled with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis at a very, very young age. Guys, it doesn't make any sense. If your kids are having joint problems or you're having joint problems, try to change your diet. Start taking turmeric. And now you can start taking like 8 turmeric a day, 10 turmeric a day, 8 turmeric 3 times a day. It's one of the best anti-inflammatory compounds you're ever going to use. We absolutely love it. We use it on a daily basis. I take it all of the time. And it's one of the best things that I've ever found to keep my shoulders and my joints working really, really well, along with our joint rebuilding formula and our joint relief formula. Those three, when you stack them along with a cod liver oil for the oil, it's amazing what it does as far as how good your joints feel on a daily, everyday basis, Austin.
No, you're absolutely right. The cod liver oil is another one that you said. I forgot to add that in there. The cod liver oil is also very, very effective in helping out with inflammation in the body. And also, too, I saw another article here a second ago on sodas. Again, regular sodas and diet sodas. And they did a study where they basically took 4,000 people, and the participants self-reported whether they drank any diet or sugary beverages, and if so, how much. Researchers uncovered a link between the consumption of both sugary and diet drinks and smaller brain volumes. An additional link between the consumption of sugary beverages and poor memory was found. All other considered factors, risk factors for Alzheimer's disease, according to the researchers. Also in the study, the mechanisms behind the decline in brain volume and memory, they said, could be tied to poor circulation and also to issues with blood sugar and high blood pressure from the sodas. And on top of that, it doesn't say this in the article, but as we both know, the aspartame is a neurotoxin, and that also, too, can cause issues. So when you start seeing control groups like this where they take 4,000 people and they directly say that drinking diet sodas or even sugary sodas on a regular basis leads to smaller brain volume, that right there, guys, should be enough. I mean, how much research does it take? How much research has to be thrown in front of you for you guys to realize that sodas have no place being in your life? I can't even explain to you any further how toxic this stuff is in your body and how bad of long-term effects it has on your liver, your kidneys, your brain, everything, guys. Yet I still see people drink this stuff on a regular basis, and a lot of people, you bring it up to them and start talking to them about it, and they just look at you like, oh, well, they're not that bad. I only drink like 2 or 3 a day. 2 or 3 a day, you're saying that 30 to 40 to 50 ounces of your overall fluid intake every day is a high fructose corn syrup, carbonated phosphoric acid, caramel color based soda on a regular basis? That's horrible. That's absolutely horrific. So cut those things out. If you're trying to cut back on them, at least get back to one a day or one every other day if you're addicted to them, if you can't just stop them cold turkey. But drinking these things on a daily basis, guys, you have to make sure you're not doing that if you're concerned about your health whatsoever, because that's one of the first things I ask people when they call me up to having issues. How much coffee are you drinking? How much soda are you drinking? How much water are you drinking? That's so important because water is life. We cannot survive without water. When you're adding in this unbelievably toxic stuff and sodas, it barely counts as water, guys. It may keep you alive for a period of time, but as far as your overall health, it's not going to be as good as it possibly could be, Dad.
No, you're absolutely right, Austin. Also, remember, the aspartic acid component of aspartame eats holes in the brains of laboratory animals. I had a good friend of mine, his name is Mark, and he owns a fencing company in Central Florida. And he told me years ago that he was having massive seizures. And he went to the neurologist, and the neurologist walked out and gave him a soda, and he had a seizure within moments after he drank the soda. In one primate study that was done with aspartame, every single monkey developed grand mal epileptic seizures. Every monkey, 100% of them. And so they went in and did an MRI on Mark to take a look at his brain. They found he had giant holes in the frontal lobe of his brain with dangling blood vessels, and they had to go in and cut his head open and tie off these blood vessels in his brain so he wouldn't have basically a ruptured aneurysm. I mean, this guy had holes eaten in his brain, and it was probably 99% guarantee from the diet sodas that he was ingesting on a regular basis. Guys, why would you put something in your body that eats holes in your brains, can cause permanent nerve or brain damage with a phenylalanine at high enough concentrations, and contains paint thinner? You're using three neurotoxins when you put them in high concentrations, especially the paint thinner. You cannot make methyl alcohol non-poisonous. And so this is something that I'm always like this with you, Austin. I'm always saying, like, guys, really? Diet sodas? I mean, I can't stand regular sodas because of the high fructose corn syrup. But if you ever find a real soda that has actual cane sugar in it, and you want to occasionally have one of those, which I don't recommend, but if you did, it's not the end of the world. But the high fructose corn syrup, and drinking this on an ongoing basis, especially when these are diuretics because of the caffeine and the decreased body's fluid, you really have to be careful because it'll make your blood too thick. It increases blood viscosity, and when that happens, when you make the blood too thick, you end up in a situation where your blood has to get pumped it's very difficult for your heart to pump that thick blood, massively increases the risks of stroke, high blood pressure, all kinds of things, and also, of course, having a heart attack. I mean, so guys, be very, very careful with your fluid intake. I try to drink at least 100 ounces of purified water every single day. And I do it even when I'm on vacation. I get a big Yeti. You can buy those cups now for like $7 or $8 a piece, a Yeti lookalike. Fill it up with some distilled ice and just basically have this water with you all the time, and you constantly sip on it. And what that allows you to do is to stay hydrated and keep your blood thin. One of the worst things you can do if you have high blood pressure is basically not drink water. You have to drink water to keep your blood thin. Otherwise, they start putting you on blood thinners, and the blood thinners can make you bleed out through your kidneys. And that's how my mother died. It was very, very sad. Guys, I want to thank you for listening today. Sorry the show's so cut up. Austin, I'll need you to write the summary today because I've been off and on the whole time. So the summary of yours today. So, guys, I love you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for supporting us. Thank you for being here. And thanks for praying for us. I appreciate you so, so very much. God bless, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, bud. We appreciate it. Yeah, and also, too, guys, that's what I always ask people, because high blood pressure is like one of the most ridiculously common asked questions. I mean, we get asked that all the time, all of us in the office. Emails, phone calls, Steve, Harrison, me, everybody gets that question. And that's the first big question I ask people. I say, are you using any caffeine products, any soda, any coffee, any Red Bull, any of that? Because when you start drinking those really highly caffeinated drinks like that, they are diuretics. People don't understand that. So you're not only taking a compound that stimulates adrenaline, so it increases heart rate. That's common knowledge. Caffeine stimulates adrenaline, increases heart rate. Easy to figure out. Then you have caffeine, which is also diuretic, which flushes fluid out of your system. That's why a lot of times you drink a bunch of coffee, you drink an energy drink, all that. You always have to urinate 30 minutes or so after you drink it. So you're increasing your heart rate, and you're causing your body to flush fluids out of your system. So you're making your heart thicker, essentially, while you're increasing the speed of it that's pumping. That right there is just a perfect recipe, a perfect recipe to increase your blood pressure. I mean, like textbook. So that's why it's so important, guys, to watch what you're drinking all the time as far as when it comes to caffeine and stimulants like that. But, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for all the emails. Thank you for the support. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. Check out the thyroid support on sale right now for over 10% off on the website at healthmasters.com. You guys, thank you for bearing with us today. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.